So, I live in a slate valley on the top of a knot. I don't live right down in the bottom of the valley. I live up on a knoll or a knot or on the top of it, whatever you want to call. But my house sits at the end of the lane. And some of you have been there, and we used to be able to look around because the trees were a lot younger when I was younger and see many things. They've grown up, and now we're kind of hidden back there, which sometimes is probably a good thing because of the way the yard looks. But one thing that is not hidden from me, and I live in the shadow of the valley of the Catoctin Mountain. They're just off to my east. And there is something that takes place there. I guess it could happen just about anywhere. It could happen in the city, or it could happen on a beach, or it could happen in any other place, I suppose. But it happens here, and the reason I'm going to talk about it happens here is because I live there, and so by naturally saying that, it becomes the best place to be. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Thank you. You'll have to come see it sometime. Now let me set it for you. It is dark in the morning, and I get up long before everybody because I've been doing it for so many years. I cannot sleep. I'm awake. I'm ready to go. Now that's not to say I won't come downstairs after doing chores on a Saturday and fall back asleep in my easy chair if I'm allowed to. And now that we have a dog, I don't reckon that'll happen. But there are those mornings where I start to watch the edge of that ridgeline. And it's dark. And first, a hue appears. Maybe light blue. Maybe just a subtlety of pink. I don't know. And I watch it. And within mere moments, the colors begin to change before your very eyes, right across the top of that ridgeline. And those colors that were dark and foreboding begin to change from hues of blue and light pink, and they start to transform from orange to yellow. And then you watch it, and suddenly bursting into sight is the sun rising above that ridgeline. It fills my heart in a way I cannot explain. But if you've ever watched it, and I see by a couple smiles out there, some people have gone out just to watch the sunrise. It bursts into sight. You look away for a moment and you look back, and there it is. Just like that, suddenly there. And every time I see it, I become warm to the very bottom of my soul. It is something that I live for. It is something that I enjoy seeing. It is something that I have seen now. We have lived up there for 13 years. And I've lived up there before that. Of course, as a bratty little kid, I may not have paid attention to it. I was only ever worried about when the sun went down because that meant I had to come in the house. But I watch it as often as I can. And I'm always struck. It always comes up. It always bursts into my sight. It never just kind of docilely plays its way up. There's colors. It's as if the swell begins at the beginning of an orchestra. You ever heard how 45 people play out a tune for about 10 minutes at the beginning of an orchestra, and then suddenly he taps that baton and everybody straightens up and the music whang right into your face. And that's how the sun appears on that ridgeline, and it bursts into my sight, and it reminds me of these words. Revelations 21. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with him. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." Amen. Can you imagine that scene? That bursts into your sight. John on the Isle of Patmos writing that letter. It's an incredible vision. And a lot of people are like, oh man, he's in Revelations again. Now that's kind of a scary book of the Bible. No, it's not. It's the closing credits. I've explained to you the Bible before. You want me to explain to you again? Genesis, that's the opening credits. That tells us who all the star players are going to be and who's going to be there. And then all of the Old Testament is the story leading up to the beauty. And the beauty happens in the New Testament. And the happy ending begins when Jesus Christ gives of himself and dies and is raised again. And we celebrate it and we cheer about it and we tell everybody about it. And then eventually the movie has to end. That's Revelations. That's the closing credits. That's telling you who the star players were and where things are going to be and how it all worked. Don't be afraid of that book. Because we are all saved. If you're saved, say hallelujah. Wow. I'm a little disappointed in that. Let me try another experiment from last week. One thing is...
Wow.
It's not me. I work really hard, Father. If you're saved, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, why was that so hard? You see, if you're saved, when you hear words coming out of Revelation, you're like, your heart starts doing that. I'm going to get to go home soon. I'm going to get to see that. I'm going to get to see heaven itself come down and burst into my sight. And what is my job? What have I learned from that? What is Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica that translates over into Revelations chapter 21? I'll tell you what it is. It is the vision of heaven, and it is our job to encourage everyone that that vision is real. It is our job to lift everyone up, to be of encouragement. Paul is writing this beautiful letter to us, to you, to me, to tell us, lift them up. Tell them what's coming. Tell them what's about to burst into their sight. You want to know what heaven's like? There's an old story that a widely respected man known as Uncle Johnson died in Michigan at the incredible age of 120 years old. I want to live that long. 130 maybe. Perhaps his advanced years could be credited in part to the cheerful outlook that characterized his life. One day while at work in his garden, he was singing songs of praise to God. And his pastor, who was passing by, looked over the fence and called, "Uncle Johnson, you seem very happy today." "Oh, yes, I was just thinking," said the old man. "You're thinking about what?" questioned his pastor. "I was just thinking about that if the crumbs of joy that fall from the master's table into this world are so good, what will be the great loaf in glory like? I tell you, sir, there will be enough for everyone with some to spare." That's a vision of heaven. Say amen. Amen. That's a vision of encouragement. That's a vision of lifting up. That is a vision of waking it up. Now, if we go back to the scripture for a moment, you know, it's hard to read into those words for a moment some kind of encouragement. But I need to remind you that what Paul wrote here is uplifting and kind and encouraging. And he has to talk to you as the shepherd would talk to his flock. We have a puppy. We just got the puppy yesterday because I am a sap. You understand? I am a sucker for dumb dog eyes. I can't help myself. We weren't going to get no dog. We went to this dumb puppy rescue thing, and I said, "We ain't getting no dog, but I'm going to go in there so that she will leave me alone. I will have completed my job. I can go to the shop. I can do what I want to do today." And so I got there first. "All right, I got this, baby. I'm going to walk in here. I'm going to see the lay of the land, and I'm going to direct her right through and right back out the door. No problem." I walk in. There's puppies everywhere. And I say to the woman, "What do?" She says, "Clean your hands up and go play with a puppy." Okay, I clean my hands up. I won't play with a dumb puppy. And I'm walking around and I'm wiping my hands. And I looked down and I saw Rocky. And Rocky was chewing on a toy. And he dropped it and he looked up at me and he went, "That ain't fair." And I didn't look at another dog. And when she came in, I was holding Rocky. And he was asleep on my chest. Done. Rocky the Wonder Dog. And that's how we look to God. That's how we look when He needs us to see Him. In that moment of encouragement, that bursting onto my sight, I didn't see anything else the rest of the time I was there. That's how we look, and that is our job to lift up. We walk along through this world, once we become saved, wondering. And it happens, and I understand that. And on occasion, we get sidetracked. Life, family, jobs, house, life, family, things, sickness, illness, pulls against us. And we start to become lost in the darkness. And I tell you what, it tears me apart when I see that happening. When I look around and I see that the good Christian people that I love, all of them, get lost for those moments in darkness, I want to go to them. And I want to remind them that just on the edge of it, just bursting into sight, is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me do this. These are hard words to read. All right? And the puppy thing points out that we sometimes have to be encouraging while we talk a little bit sternly. And that dog has already figured out how to chew on everything. And so I've heard, don't chew on that, don't chew on that. Come here, little doggy, don't chew on that. But I'm going to read these words again the way I think Paul would have said them. And I want you to hear them through the light that I read them. I'll get back to the scripture first. Now, brothers, about time and duties, we need not write to you. For you know very well the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly. It'll be as if the labor pains of a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. And you know this. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep. Let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation, a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. That's how I heard those words. Not pounding me over the head. Not telling me how hard life is. Paul already knows how hard life is. He's living it. Encouragement. By the simple act of encouragement, the Lord Jesus Christ in all His glory will burst into your sight. Dean Merrill, tells a story about a man who was ousted from his profession. You want to know what ousted means? It means he got fired. And he took a job as a hod carrier. All right, boys, who's a hod carrier? Anybody know what that was? Lynn, were you a hod carrier?
I did very little, but I know what it is.
Well, what is it? You got it. That is an ugly... Anybody else in here know what a hod carrier is, bud? No? I did it. I don't like it, and I ain't never going to do it again. But you carried that sloppy concrete up on the pole and dumped it over there so they could lay the block or the brick. It was a hard, nasty, dirty job, and this man was suddenly in a different world. He went from a world where all the music was piped in and he had a desk to the blaring of transistor radios and foul and profane language and ugly people who screamed at girls when they walked by and made rude remarks and whistled. And they made fun of him. And the foreman, whose primary tactics were whining and intimidation, would cuss at him for the sake of, "Can't you do anything right? I've never worked with a bunch of idiots like you," and so forth and so on. Hurts. Near the end of the third week, this fellow felt that he could take no more, and so he said to himself, "This is it. This is my last day. I'm going to work till lunchtime today, and I'm going home." He had already been the butt of more jokes than he cared to count. His lack of experience caused him to do something foolish. The stories were retold again and again and again about how stupid he was. He said, "I just can't handle this anymore." Who's ever uttered that phrase? Say amen.
Amen.
That's right. "I just can't handle this anymore." And so he would leave at lunchtime. And shortly around noon, come the foreman with the paychecks. And as he handed each man an envelope, he made the first civil comment to this man in 3 weeks. He said, "Hey, there's a woman who works in the front office. What knows you? She says she takes care of your kids sometimes." "Who?" And he named the woman who sometimes helped in the nursery of the church where the man and his family worshiped. The foreman then went on his rounds, and the hod carrier opened his envelope. He found, along with his check, a handwritten note. "When one part of the body of Christ suffers, we all suffer with it. I just wanted you to know that I am praying for you these days." He stared at the note, astonished at God's timing. He hadn't even known the woman worked for the company. And here at his lowest hour, in the greatest darkness, she had given him the courage to go on and push another wheelbarrow load up that ramp. And in effect, Jesus Christ came bursting into sight. That's what we do when we lift someone up. When we tell them in the darkness, "There is someone waiting for you." I don't get scared of the dark. As a matter of fact, I don't turn the lights on when I walk out to my truck in the morning. My eyes are still pretty good. I'm the idiot that will go through those haunted houses and go, "Really? Really? Really?" I love watching scary movies, but for only one reason. I love to get them scary movies going, get the dark in the house, turn all the lights off, sit there with all my family lined up on the couch and act like I'm asleep. Daddy's asleep again. Oh, we got that eye open just a little bit, waiting for that opportune moment. Just laying around. Ah! And watch them kids come to life. You okay, Sonia? I live for that. See, it works in the daylight. We don't have to be afraid of the darkness. Paul says we don't live in it. He says we are part of the light. By accepting that death, by proclaiming that reality, by saying that Jesus Christ is who he is, we're given that second chance over and over and over again. Every time we mess up, we have, what's that word? Mercy. Somebody said that. Who said that? Did you say that? Did you say that? Somebody said mercy. You're my favorite right now. Because we have that one thing, which is what?
Mercy.
Wow. Alleluia. Too confusing.
Serious.
Amen.
We have love. Say love.
Love.
We have mercy. Say mercy.
Mercy.
Bursting into sight comes who? Say his name.
Jesus.
There you go. And that's how he does it. In those moments in the darkness, you have nothing left. Nothing. You're at your lowest point. Believe you me, I know that. And I've been there. And yet, you feel that touch. Your eyes come open. Those dark colors change to orange, to yellow, to bright, to a light that you can't even take your eyes into. And you see him. And you'll see him. And you'll continue to see him. And you'll do your job, which Paul encourages us. We are to encourage each and other. Don't be afraid. Don't be in the darkness. Come sit in the prayer chair and let us pray for you. That is our job. We want to do it. We want to lift you up. We want to be the Christians he would have us be. And we can learn it by lifting others and touching them with the heaven gospel, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We learn that there's something great out there. In Valladolid, Spain, where Christopher Columbus died in 1506, stands a monument commemorating, and I'm going to say it, the great discoverer. I don't care what's going on right now. Perhaps the most interesting feature of the memorial is a statue of a lion destroying one of the Latin words that had been a part of Spain's motto for centuries. You see, before Christopher Columbus made his voyages, the Spaniards thought they had reached the outer limits of the earth. Their motto was ne plus ultra, Latin, ne plus ultra, which means no more beyond. The word being torn away from the lion is ne or no, making it read plus ultra. Christopher Columbus had proved indeed that there was more beyond. In our darkness, in our moments, in our sadness, we may see that there's just nothing else left. We may see there's nothing else beyond. We may see that a family member has cast us into darkness, that a sickness has cast us into darkness, that hatred at a job has put us in it. And we can't see beyond it because we become enveloped in the black. But let me encourage you. There's more beyond. Call out, and he will come bursting into sight. I do it. I have to do it because I need him every step that I take. I cannot live my life without Jesus Christ. Can't do it. And neither can you. And so we encourage one another. And then you know what happens? We start encouraging. And we start encouraging. And we get more encouragement. And we walk around. And people say, like what Faith said today, this is such a welcoming church. Yes, it is. Yay for yourselves. Welcoming. That's what the district executive said. I've never been in anything like that. Well, please come back. Then the angel showed me the river of water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. And on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding to its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. And they will reign forever and ever and ever and ever. Say amen right there.
Amen.
That's where it's at. I encourage you. As Paul has said, I encourage you to be lifted. To know that we are not in the darkness. That even when we're cast into it, even in those moments when we're being beat on, he waits right there to burst into sight. He's never left. He'll never leave. He's never gone anywhere further than we can reach out. I pray for each and every one of you to be lifted up by that sunrise. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the things that you have given and for the things that you have taken away. Perhaps sometimes we'll get lost trying to understand. Richard Baxter expressed these lines, Father, when he said, my knowledge of that life is small, the eye of faith is dim, but it's enough that Christ knows all, and I shall be with him. We should repeat that always. Know Christ, know him, be lifted, be saved, and know where you go. Heavenly Father, I pray for this family today. Know that they are great and multitude in my sight. Know that they are great and loving in my sight. Let them know how great they are, how powerful they are, how strong they are, and what they have to give forth. And in their moments of weakness, Father, in their moments of darkness, Father, I pray that in that moment, in that last possible moment, that Jesus Christ will burst forth into their sight and take away the darkness. Strengthen them, Father, for they are my flock. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.